So sweet. Thank you. Good to have you back.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. So as I said, let's see, we have this cool graphic that Carly made for me with a Strengthening Your Spiritual Core series. That's what we're working on this year. This month, we're looking at the power of love. Each month, exploring one of these 12 powers, these 12 capacities. That if you're new to us, our co-founder Charles Fillmore, this was not a novel idea, these 12 powers. He was certainly influenced by the traditions of the Hindu traditions with the teachings of the chakras in the body centers. But he sort of Christianized this idea. So he related all of the 12 disciples that were in service to Christ. Go back. Nice try. To one of the powers. And so John is associated with the power of love. The location is behind your heart. It's associated with the color pink. And it works best with our powers of wisdom and understanding. Otherwise, we sort of fall for like what we know as blind love, right? We have to have some discernment around. Anybody fallen in love with someone or even something that wasn't all that great for you? Yeah. They're not here with you today. Don't worry. You're fine. Yeah, so some discernment on how to use this power of love. Reverend Paul Hasselbeck refers to these 12 powers as 12 key components of God's image and likeness in us. You hear that, right? That we are created in the image and likeness of God. This is a practical application of that we have these 12 components and others as well that exemplify our divine capacity. They are the ways in which we experience and express the image and likeness of God. And we use them best in service of our own Christ consciousness, that perfect pattern within us that is of the divine itself. So it's important, though, to recognize, of course, that we can use them from the various levels, right? And we can use them just from the physical level of desire and attraction, sensuality, sexuality, and even emotional connection, support, affection, all of those. Nothing wrong with any of those. And we can use them from, they tend to be a little limited though, right? And we want to use that with some discernment, not to just fall for lust or addiction or obsessiveness. So that's where some discernment comes in. I want to make a point to recognize that while these different aspects, our physical and even our mental and emotional capacities, sometimes also associated with our egoic self, that is all mostly about projecting and protecting ourself, it's not separate and it's not bad. It's all part of the divine composite for how we navigate the world. We need to use our physical senses and our emotional sense and our mental capacity. It's just not the totality of who and what we are. And so as we expand to know that, then we can also begin to see, we move from sort of the personal, what is it in it for me, myself and I, to what am I contributing to the whole? Because I'm part of the whole. I am an expression of this one source that we all share. So oftentimes, I know I have certainly done it, I've sort of made them to be like they're separate and they're opposing each other, right? But they're really part of a whole. And oftentimes we don't recognize, you all do because you're here, that there's more to us than our physical body and our thinking. More than our thoughts and our emotions. They're important. They help us and sometimes hinder us. But there is more to you, yes? And so how do we connect with that moreness? That's a technical term. Again, we have all these capacities, which just to marvel at what we're able to do so often without even thinking about it, right? And certainly love, this power, if you go to the next slide, this power, we define it as the ability to desire, which moves us to harmonize, unify, and attract ourselves and have affinity for something or someone. So that, you know, desire again has had some religious baggage, but at its core, it gives us a momentum for which we're moving and attracting ourselves towards something. And again, if you think about kind of moving up through those levels of physical, mental, emotional, and then spiritual, really until those basic needs are met, you're not going to be elevated into enlightenment when you don't know where you're living or your fundamental needs to belong and all of that aren't met. So there's a realization or an expectation that those are met, that then we can begin to connect from the higher level of a spiritual level of all of these qualities, these capacities. Linda Martello-Witsit, who wrote this book, Divine Audacity, says that from childhood forward, we have developed these capacities mostly in their physical expression. Every one of our spiritual abilities has deeper and broader means of expressing that, when developed under the direction of our infinite self, our divine identity, produce potent effects in our lives, communities, and the world. So again, I feel like as we expand our sense of wanting to harmonize with and unify our mind and emotion with that of the divine, to have that illuminate us, our what we desire sort of expands in a way. Is this making any sense? Barely. Okay. All right, I've got an object lesson, and this always does the trick, right? I love this idea when we're talking about this ability to desire. And the other thing that's not on there is to magnetize. So from that reading that we heard from, you always run the risk that this stuff doesn't work, but it's going to work. It's physics. Putting these things down here. Oh, just some big paper clips. Don't worry about that. With my magnet. That reading that was indicating the power, that oftentimes we misjudge where the power is. We put the power in the object that we are loving or desiring or harmonizing with. But this is stating that the power is love itself. So we think, look at this. It's this one thing that's got it. But it's the power that magnetizes us toward this particular thing that we're desiring, right? I'm not doing a good job because I'm so excited to try to do this. But that's kind of how, you know, you think about when you first fall in love. Oh my God, there's only this one. And what will ever happen if I lose this one? Right? And we usually lose that one, a couple others maybe. But love, the power of love and the power that is fueled by our desire for connection, for fulfillment, for care and concern and compassion and all of those things, continues to do its work, its mighty work. And the question is, what are we pointing it to? That's the other piece that we have to be mindful of, that love does not have a quality sensor on it. It does what it does. It magnetizes and draws us to what we are desiring. Whether that's good or bad, that's up to our discernment, our wisdom, right? Everything that we can love and be magnetized to, if it's not done in moderation, is usually problematic. What's my point, you ask? I think that's a good question. That basically we can think of this power of love as we are thinking of anything that we are kind of desiring and putting our focus on, in some way we are loving. And in some way we are magnetizing ourselves toward and harmonizing ourselves with. And sometimes we do that with limited thoughts. Right? Thoughts that are not really supportive of the truth of us, that we are not enough or that we are not worthy or that. And that can drive us into experiences of love that are really not ultimately expressions of the goodness that we're seeking through the power of love. So we have to be mindful of the thoughts that are working underneath that power of magnetizing and harmonizing. And ultimately, just as this quote, I love that she correlates gravity with the power of love. Linda Martelowitz, it says that just as the power of gravity causes objects in the universe to be drawn to one another, love is the drawing power of the mind. It is impersonal. It has no particular object and is universal. That's the profound power of it. We through our personality can sometimes limit that power, right? And so I am reminded of that quote, or actually the commandment that Jesus left for us. We had all those ten commandments from the Hebrew Testament that was really about all the things we shouldn't do. Jesus left us with two simple commandments of what we should do, and that was to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And that can feel like, and has been taught some to some degree, that we do that sort of to appease God, right? So that God will love us. There we are, back to that humanizing God. But God is love, is that power. And so if we harmonize all aspects of us with that power, then the second one is love your neighbor as yourself. That's a lot easier to do when we have first harmonized with the fullness of love. I have a hard time loving myself sometimes. My neighbor's okay. She's not here today, is she? Okay, I love my neighbor. She comes here sometimes. But you know what I mean, that's not always easy. And so that's why that first commandment comes first. Not to love some being in the sky that's gonna not love you if you don't, but to harmonize and magnetize all aspects of your being with that energy, with that light, with that truth. And that connects us with an infinite source of wisdom and love. And yes, then we are able to offer our self love, our neighbor love, our country love. The other thing about this power of harmony, this power to harmonize, you know, as human beings, we tend to really like things to be harmonized. When things are in discord, we do what we can to bring harmony back because it's uncomfortable. And I think that's some of what we're experiencing here. There's such huge discord in our country. And yet we belong to each other. We've got to figure this out. How can we? And I believe that, again, of our own volition, of our own personality, our own biases, our own limitations, our own pain, all that we come with as human beings, we may not be able to fully, but that's why we connect with this source of life and love that is infinite and that wants nothing more than to pour itself through each and every one of us indiscriminately. Here's a quote, this next slide. See how you feel about this, how this lands. Oh, it's kind of small, but. Co-founder Charles Fillmore said this, "Yet God does not love anybody or anything." Does that burst your bubble a little bit? A tiny bit? It did mine. I was like, wait a minute. But God is love in everybody and everything. God is love, and we become loving by permitting that which God is to find expression in word and action in our life. So it's one of those divine paradoxes because, you know, our experience of God, of the divine, is very personal. We know that very intimately, very uniquely, right? And yet, it's no person loving this little person named Trish. It's the power of love imbued in me to be love in the world. And so while it's a little bit personally sad, it's really empowering. And yes, we can go back to that idea that for God so loved the world that it gave itself to the world, imbued itself in the world in what we call Christ consciousness. So there is absolutely an expression of love. It's just not personal, which can feel, again, don't take it personal, because it really is more expansive. And so it's that source, that infinite source of love and life and wisdom and all those capacities that we can identify with God itself that we want to connect with and that we are really an inlet for. But we have to know it, and we have to desire to know it the same way we desire to know our little self, right? And be our little self. Nothing wrong with that. But if we think that's all we are, we'll never have this invitation to expand and to receive the fullness that God as love is. And that's really the mission behind this bold invitation of this book, Divine Audacity, which she says, divine audacity is bold spiritual living under the radical presence that I am divine. Not my personality, pay attention to me, I'm divine. No, that's ego, right? But the essence of who I am, of what I am, is divine. Who I am is who I've thought myself to be in this persona that's coming through. So it's the audacity to live from that knowing that I am divine. My nature, your nature, is one with divine nature. I am able to boldly express the highest spiritual principles in the midst of everyday situations. That's the other thing. When we recognize that and when we grow into that, it doesn't mean that hard situations won't happen. We see this in all of even the peace heroes that we heard about this morning. Horrendous situations happened, and they walked through them as an example of peace and love. It means that we will be supported in those in ways we can't even imagine of our own individual understandings. Yes? So I like the idea, and you can think about this, that the 12 powers are tools that we can use to manage and the process of raising or upgrading our consciousness to the fullest level that we can at this moment. Reverend Paul Hasselbeck has likened it to a consciousness operating system. As we work with these 12 powers in every level of their expression. When we often begin from the physical, often aligned with our more primitive survival needs, the next level from our personal awareness that tends to employ our ego functioning, projecting and protecting ourselves. And then from our spiritual awareness, where we know that we are interconnected with all of creation. And so this power of love is our ability to unify, to be one with what we can imagine God to be, and to release these thoughts and these ideas that we are separate, that we ever can be separate. That's a function of our thinking. It's not possible. If we believe that God is the source of all and is imbued and expressing in all, except for you, Trish, or you, Connie, it missed you. No, it's true. If it's true, it's true. And so admitting that for ourselves is often the hardest piece. We can admit that there is something bigger, right? There is something fuller. We can even want to experience more of that, but to admit that actually I have access to it, I have the capacity to know it and express it, sometimes is harder than others. But again, the good news is we don't have to do it from our limited personal understanding if we can connect to the higher level of that expression. So we're going to do that now in a time of meditation. Thank you for listening. Just take a moment, get yourself comfortable again in your chair, taking a few breaths, feeling yourself supported. If it helps to sort of calm your nervous system, to take a deep, deep breath, I invite you to do that. If you know that doesn't work for you, don't need to do it. But our breath often has a power of just bringing us to the here and now. I'm going to ring our singing bowl as well, which is tuned to our heart chakra. Another invitation to drop from our head to our heart. And just imagine yourself sort of breathing in through your heart space. You may even picture a soft pink light emanating from that area in your body. Just taking a breath, connecting with your own experience of your heart space, of the experience of love working in and through you. Connecting with this idea that perhaps our deepest desire really is to know and to harmonize and to be at one with the divine source of all life. Which is the very nature of love itself. And so releasing the sense that we are merely human and claiming that right here, right now, divine love is manifesting through me. Let that be your thought. Right here, right now, divine love is manifesting through me. It's expressing as me. And I want to, you want to release and let go of things that block that flow. We are worthy of that by our very being, by the fact that we are here. Fully human and perfectly divine. And so we consciously and purposefully set our heart and our mind toward the fullness of this power of love that comes forth first as a desire within us and then begins to harmonize our thoughts and our feelings toward that, that we're a match for that. We begin to attract ourselves to that, whatever that may be. What would it be like to live each day to desire and to harmonize and unify with our divine nature? All that we can imagine spirit to be at the core of us. This is what it means to love God with your heart and your mind and your soul. And in return, you are harmonized with the source of all that is. Oh. There's nothing you have to do except let it be. Acknowledge it, admit it, and allow it. And lay down the burden of being merely human. You are that and so much more. And so as you make your way through your week, just consider every moment, what are you loving? What are you harmonizing with? What are you multiplying in your mind, in your thoughts, in your feelings? And self-correct. If you go back into the limiting version, self-correct. Divine love is manifesting in me right here. And when we know that, and we claim that, and we harmonize with that, and we express that, all things are possible. just invite you to take a deep breath and come back to this time and space if you haven't already. Setting forth consciously and purposefully, watching where you focus your love magnet this week. That's why I don't do object lessons. I mess them up every time. Now is the time in our service where we give of our good and to support what we do here at Unity Spiritual Center Denver. I know many of you do that online. We're grateful for that. If you have cash or check, there's baskets in the back you can leave as you're heading out. And there's also a QR code that you can give an electronic donation. So however you are giving today, we appreciate that. It helps sustain all that we do here. And so together we will bless our love offering, knowing that there it is, with divine love, as me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. I am thankful. I'm really excited to hear this song.
Me too. Yeah.
That's the way that he died. He said, be